The title of my message is Every Church Needs a D.L. Moody. Every church needs a D.L. Moody. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh, D.L. Moody, oh my word, how do you ever compare with that? Right? You don't. Because you're not going to walk D.L. Moody's journey. God had a journey for D.L. Moody that D.L. Moody walked. But God has a journey for you. Now I'm going to give away the punchline to my message, because I was going to save it all the way to the end. Pastor Katie right now is like dying because we work together on this message. So she's like, no, don't, hold on to it. Here's the incredible thing is we talk about Moses journeying through the land between. And we talk about the fact that today's message, we haven't even gotten to the land between part yet. We're still journeying with Moses, and we are going to look at Moses' land between. You see, Moses' land between moment started at the burning bush. It started at the moment that God kept calling him out. It started when he was in Midian and he was running to escape a mistake that he made. Do you realize that Moses was in Egypt for 40 years? And then he had this moment, he ran to Midian. Do you know how long Moses was in Midian? 40 years. So now he's 80 at this point. He's literally a stuttering shepherd on the backside of nowhere. Not my words, scripture. Scripture literally says that Moses could have been found on the backside of nowhere. I don't know what the backside of nowhere looks like, but it doesn't sound pretty. A stuttering shepherd, 80 years old, on the backside of nowhere, and God calls him from a burning bush. Remember what he says? He says, Moses, Moses. He used his name twice. That's important, because that is God bringing a sense of urgency to the situation. Whenever God uses your name twice, you do what Moses did. You remember what Moses said? Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Because he knew, when you hear God use your name twice, you better say the next phrase out of your mouth better be, here I am. And then Moses begins this journey with God. His land between moment started then. Do you know how long Moses journeyed with the Israelites in the wilderness? 40 years. Do you know what the number 40 represents in Scripture? Ralph, help me. Say it louder. The purification of man. 40 years. Folks, the coolest thing about the Moses journey is it's the story of holiness. It's the story of recognizing that Moses wasn't perfect, but God was made perfect within him. It's the story of Moses having to come to these points in time in his journey and in his story where he had to deplete himself. And he had to get back behind himself. And he had to realize that he didn't have the ability to go any further. But what does God do in that moment? He calls him out. Without Moses, you don't get the Ten Commandments. You don't get the leader of the Israelites. You don't get the promised land. Now, granted, could God use somebody else? Sure, but did he want to? No. Now, even if we think about D.L. Moody, without D.L. Moody, you don't get the third great awakening in America and Europe. You don't get the revivalism that spread out of that. You don't get the Moody Bible Institute. You don't get the Moody Church. You don't get the Northfield School for Boys, and then again a school for girls. You don't get these things. You don't get Little Hell, which was that part of Chicago that Moody was reaching out to was called Little Hell. You don't see the transformation of Little Hell without D.L. Moody. You don't see God doing amazing things through this man. And why? Because of obedience. For him to simply say, yes. The message to you this morning is to say yes. The reason why every church needs a D.L. Moody is is because of this. I'm going to share with you now. D.L. Moody was never a pastor. D.L. Moody was never Reverend D.L. Moody. I read his biography on sabbatical, and I kept waiting for the part where, you know, he became a pastor. I kept waiting for the stories that I've heard about D.L. Moody being way in the back balcony and accepting this call and following God and being a pastor. It's not there. It's not there. Because D.L. Moody was just an ordinary man. He was an ordinary person like you and me. But see, God loves to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. He was never Pastor D.L. Moody. People would say Pastor Moody, and he would say, no, I'm not a pastor. One time, he was not admitted to go see a person in the prison because it was only for clergy. And a person that was traveling with him said, don't you know who this is? This is D.L. Moody. He's the pastor of the church on Chicago Avenue. And D.L. Moody stopped him and he says, no, son, you're the pastor. I'm just D.L. Moody. Doesn't that give you hope this morning? Isn't that incredible information to learn that a person that was literally, I mean, his father died when he was 4 and he had a 5th grade education. And yet, the impact of his life is still being seen today. The impact of a man's life is still being seen today. And why? Because the reality is, he was obedient and he allowed his ordinary life to become something extraordinary in God's hands. How do you want to allow your ordinary life to become extraordinary in God's hands? That's the call. That's the call. You see, the coolest thing about Moses and D.L. Moody is that they were just ordinary people who did extraordinary things for God. That's what's amazing about it. Do you remember Moses' protest with God? In chapter 3, Moses was like, God, you got the wrong guy. You don't get, you trust me. I stutter, I stammer, I don't speak well. You don't want me to be a spokesperson. And then he says, who do you think I am? He says, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? Here's the best part. You would anticipate God saying, well, you are Moses, the son of the Levite Amram. You're the leader of people, mighty warrior, and a man of God. That's what you would anticipate God saying to you. And doesn't that sound awesome? Wouldn't you love to hear that? You are the son of a Levite, a man of God, a mighty warrior. And you know what the best part is? God doesn't answer Moses' question directly. In fact, he answers it indirectly. And look at God's response in verse 2. God answered, I will be with you. I will be with you. He doesn't answer his question. God doesn't answer him directly. Because the reality is, God was saying, well, you're nothing. Isn't that good news? I know, it kind of sounds funny, doesn't it? But isn't it good news that God's like, no, Moses. You see, in that moment, God told Moses the truth. God told Moses the truth. He said, Moses, it's not about you. It's about what I can do through you. See, God was communicating to Moses, and I firmly believe he's communicating it to us today, right where we sit. It's not about what you can't. It's about what God can. Do you believe that? I know when we throw out words like Moses, we go, well, that was Moses. And we throw out words like D.L. Moody, and you go, oh, well, that was D.L. Moody. Folks, God wants to use murderers to change his kingdom. Because if we really go into Moses, we'd have to understand very quickly that the person that God shouldn't choose to reach the Egyptians is somebody who is known for killing Egyptians. Right? Just like D.L. Moody leading revivals at Harvard and Yale. When Moody passed away, Yale University had it, they actually canceled classes. Yale University canceled classes when he passed away to remember D.L. Moody, because he would go to the campus and he would lead theological conversations at both Yale and Harvard. Oh, and by the way, remember, D.L. Moody had a fifth grade education. Put yourself in God's shoes. You're looking for a spokesperson. Your people are being enslaved, they're being treated harshly, and you're looking for a person that's going to stand up against the most powerful man in the world, in the most powerful empire in the world. I mean, think about that. If you're God, what is your criteria? What is your, how are you going to train this person to go up against the most formidable person in the known world? You don't choose Moses. You choose someone else. But who does God choose? Moses. Who is God going to choose to transform your family? You. Who is God going to choose to transform your neighborhood? You. Who is God going to choose to transform our community? You. Who is God going to choose to transform our church? I know, you're all going, Pastor Steve. Yeah. Yeah, or yeah, you're saying you. No, he's going to choose you. And if you think right now that you are insignificant to the body of Christ, that is the best place to be. Because you know why? Don't let the stinking thinking creep in, but let the humility to know that God wants to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And I want to say that we are going to be a community that's going to journey together. That we are going to be a people who are going to come alongside each other, because it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. Your story is already complicated, isn't it? So don't you think that it would be great to have people that would journey with you? And yes, is it going to be messy? Oh, you better believe it's going to be messy. But when you allow yourselves to be vulnerable and you allow yourselves to say, this is really messy, that's where God does his best work. That's why it's so important to be involved in a life group, if I can make that plug. That's why it's so valuable, because you have a group of people that are there together with the intended purpose of journeying together. Who else do you have? Who else do you have? So I just want to share with you that, you know, the big question is, what do we do with this? Really, the reality for me as your pastor is I need you to say yes. I need you to say yes. Say yes to your family. Say yes to your neighborhood. Say yes to your coworkers. Say yes to your friends at school. Say yes to your church. Because the thing is, when you say ultimately yes to God, you're saying yes to the impact you can have with the people around you. And the reason I need you to say yes is because I need smiling faces at the front door to greet people when they walk in. I need people who are excited to see what God is going to do today in our services here. Yeah, bring your junk. Bring it with you. Don't put on the facade and just say everything's great, because if it's not great, then you're going to play the game with God. Don't play the game with God. Come in, be who you are, bring it all with you. When somebody says, how are you doing? You know, just fine. You know? Just be like, man, I had a great week, or I had a rough week. Because we have people that are going to be coming in, and we have got to be prepared. And we've got to love on each other to get there. So Moses, I'm going to wrap up here. Moses' land between started at the burning bush. Where's your burning bush this morning? What has God been speaking into your heart? Where is your ultimate yes that God's calling you to? Maybe before we can even, you know, the reality is before Moses could even experience the impact of the burning bush, he had to go through the process of being transformed. So maybe this morning, what we need to do is we just need to maybe take a few minutes and allow God to begin the process of transforming us. Maybe we need to be confessional this morning. Maybe we need to confess that there's been things that have been holding us back. Maybe there's things that we need to just come and just be vulnerable at an altar and say, God, start with me. And I don't know what Pastor Caleb and Cindy are going to play or sing, but I think this needs to be a defining moment for us. I think that we need to allow there to be, you know, God is speaking through the burning bush to us today. And what does that look like? What does that look like for you? So I want you to stand with me as we close. I believe this morning that the Holy Spirit has already been working in you. I believe that he's already been communicating to you, and I can simply just be done talking about it. Instead, we're going to just sing a closing song, and I just want you to respond with however God has prompted your heart. And I don't want you to worry about the people around you. I want you simply just to step out where you are and just come down to a place of surrender. This is a place of grace, not a place of disgrace. This is a place not of condemnation, but a place of conversation. And it's a place where we come and we have just to be still before the Lord. So as we sing, I just want you to step out and just respond the way the Lord has led your heart this morning.